From Los Angeles, it's the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights.
With tonight's guest, green technology pioneer Walter Schindler.
Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky.
And musical guest Diana Carr. I am Mark Legere, and now, your host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Mark and I sat down one day with Dorothy and a couple other friends, and we said, what if we had a show where we talked about these kinds of things? And you know, that what if question has been going around a lot at Life Changes. And sure enough, wouldn't it be a beautiful coincidence if somebody didn't go and start a conference called What If? As a matter of fact, our friends Matt Murray and a couple other people that in the team there a year or so ago started a conference, and it was, I don't remember, in Dallas or in where was it?
Las Vegas.
And then it went to Las Vegas. And so this coming weekend, it's going to be in San Diego. Next month, it's going to be in Los Angeles. And the week after, it's going to be in Vancouver, Canada. And they are asking, what if? So Mark and I have been asked to be speakers at this coming event. I think Mark and Dorothy are going to be speakers at the one in San Diego. I'm not going to be available. But we're excited about this because out of the what if questions come some really good answers. This show came out of a what if question. Now, the way it works is that each of the speakers that are invited are asked to pose a what if question. So, you know, what if we had a show, for example, that talked about these kinds of things? And then the audience, in something that's not normally done, is invited to then add to the conversation. And so it's dynamic. Mark did it in Las Vegas, and this will be my first time, and I'm really looking forward to it. So if you want to know more about it, you can go to lifechangesnetwork.com, and you can click on our latest blog post, and it's about the What If Conference. It tells you all about it, and you can get tickets there. But for the next 10 people that contact us through our website, or the first 10 people, they will get and send us an email saying you're interested. They will get free tickets to the San Diego What If. So I'm going to be there, and I'm going to be posing this question. I'm going to be posing, what if what's wrong with society is me? I'm going to leave it at that. I think it's going to be a really dynamic conversation. I know what I have to say is dynamic enough. I just look forward to what the audience that'll be there will add to it. We'll have video of this afterwards that we'll be posting up on YouTube and sharing it so those who can't be there can get into the what if conversation. When we come back, I have a suspicion that back in the mind of our guest somewhere back in time, Walter Schindler, there had to have been a what if. And I'm going to pose it like this. I wonder if this was his question, and we'll ask him when he comes back. What if a business actually could run, make money, and actually do something good for people and the world? What a concept. We'll be back with our guest, Walter Schindler, and a little later, Diana Carr, our musical guest, all right after this on Life Changes.
True performance takes more than just working out. Every day we demand more from our body. But what does your body demand? Hunger is not your body's call for empty calories. It's your body asking for nutrients it's lacking. It's time to reward your body with Boku Superfood, made from the world's finest organic ingredients, vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and essential trace nutrients, all developed naturally and organically from nature's most nutrient-dense foods. Boku Superfood is quite possibly the best thing you can feed your body. So listen to your body. Reward it with pure, raw, beautiful food. Boku Superfood.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Marianne Williamson, Gary Anthony Williams, Sharon Stone, and Alex Gray on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com. Or you can visit us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I am Filippo, and I'm sitting here with Mark Lejeune. And Mark, do you remember that what if question that we posed each other?
I remember that what if question and a few more. We've volleyed them back and forth for quite some time now.
And we're still asking each other what if questions.
Yes, we are. I'm so glad you gave What If a shout out, because the exciting part about this conference that's coming up and the exciting part of what it meant to me having spoken there once already is it takes this kind of, some people are familiar with the TED concept and a lot mm-hmm. of those videos are shared now. Yep. And there's some brilliant information, of course, that's brought forward.
Very
but
popular.
What If has done is put it into a more solution oriented methodology, and more. So once we have this information, what are we doing? How can we take right. what we've heard and put it into practice?
Right.
And that's a neat format.
We don't by ourselves have all the answers, and we need support. We need people that do this and people that do that, and the people that do this and that have other things that they can contribute to the what if question.
Yeah, mostly, the surfacing of knowledge, the transparency, when one plus one make 11. So the more people know about not only the information, but what is in someone else's mind, I think that's where the creative collaboration comes in.
I've never heard that 1 + 1 = 11. I like that.
I think I may have said that before. But.
Oh, it never. I know you. You know what? You may have said it 1,000 times. I just wasn't in the place to hear it yet. And that Perfect. Goes to my what if question. What if what's wrong with society is me? But I'm not going to say anymore. So.
Good callback.
And I don't mean me. I mean, we, me. Okay. Yeah, I'm going to leave it at that. Well, I'll see you all in San Diego. And remember that the first 10 people to contact us through our website to send us an email letting us know you want a What If ticket to the San Diego conference, let us know. And you'll find more information on our blog post at lifechangesnetwork.com. And now it's with great pleasure that I introduce our guest, Walter Schindler, who, if you've read any of his bio, you will be as impressed as we are. Actually, we're more impressed because we've actually met him, and he's got a great personality and a great voice to match everything that's written on that piece of paper and much, much more. He speaks Italian. Okay. And poetry. He writes and reads. He's a green technology pioneer. Indeed, he is. And he is actually so much more than that. And he has proven that over and over with all of the things that he has done to us here at Life Changes, and today for the sake of our conversation, he is advancing the cause of sustainability. Now, you might have seen what I wrote on Facebook. These are the kinds of conversations we could be having more of, should be having more of, and will be having more of, and are going to be having right now with our guest, Walter Schindler. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Filippo.
I could go through the list. You're an author. You're on the board of the Fulbright Canada. You founded organizations and companies, and a couple of them that we're going to be talking about today. Were you always this ambitious?
Sort of.
Yeah.
I guess yes. Okay. Yes, I started my ambition career at age 12 when I was a Boy Scout. And I was asked to raise money for a good cause.
Oh.
And I just assumed that the best thing I could do is walk through every home in my neighborhood and raise money. And I wound up raising more money for this cause than anybody else did. And I thought, this is interesting.
Oh. Nobody would tell you no.
No, nobody else seemed to have the energy or the drive to go out and do it. And I just did it. It seemed like fun to me.
Good for you. That says so much. And to be able to, did you have someone that could cultivate that when you were young that saw that?
I really owe a lot of everything I've done to the high school I went to.
Huh?
Jesuit High School in New Orleans, Louisiana. It was founded in 1847. Mm-hmm. I was originally part of Loyola University and split off as a high school. And I was blessed to have teachers who had been educated all over the world, and they gave me a global perspective from the time I was in high school. And to some extent, they sort of adopted me a little bit and gave me a lot of mentoring. And so I really do appreciate, the mentoring I received as a young man. in my high school years in New Orleans. And they were the ones who encouraged me to apply to Yale, even though it would not have been something I would have done normally. But they encouraged me and said I could do it, and I did, and it worked out. And Yale was very generous to give me a full scholarship, and that really changed my life.
Wow, that says a lot about mentoring and the right schools and all of that. And
right.
More power to you. And you've done a lot of wonderful things. We're going to be talking about the sustainability and the projects and the companies and all that when we come back. But before we go, you piqued my interest when I understood that you speak Italian.
Certo.
But not only that, like you read, and not only read, but translated some of Italy's biggest, greatest works.
Yes, I was very lucky to win a Fulbright scholarship to go to Italy. I spent about a year in Italy. Was a student at the University of Florence, Università degli Studi di Firenze.
Right.
Indeed. And I studied Italian literature. I translated the poetry of Dante, Petrarca, mm-hmm. and Boccaccio into English, and that was my project. And
had that not been done before, or it just?
Oh, it'd been done, but I you know, right. the Fulbright program was a cultural exchange program, mm-hmm. as much as it was an academic program. So the idea was. In Italy had an allocation of 30 U.S. students. So they picked 30 students from the United States from different areas. Some people were studying art history. Some people were studying, you know, political history, government. And I didn't fit any of the boxes. I actually wrote a very simple 25-word essay saying I'd love to come to Italy to enjoy the people and drink the wine and eat the pasta.
And they loved that, huh?
Yeah. And
our kind of guy.
Yeah, and little did I know that the head of the Fulbright Commission in Rome, Cipriana Shelba, was the daughter of the prime minister of Italy who had signed the Treaty of Rome creating the European Common Market.
Uh-huh.
She was very influential. And when I arrived, she said to me, after I confessed that I didn't think my Italian was very good and I wasn't worthy of the honor, she says, "You're here because you're the only person who submitted an application that sounded like you were going to be fun."
Hmm.
And she said, "We've got all these other people here who are going to go around and research and catalog our art, but you're here for the real purpose of the Fulbright program, which is to help nations understand one another."
Mm.
You know? Mm. Our real job is to communicate to Americans who we really are.
Mm.
And then we send 30 students over to the United States so that they learn who we are.
Mm.
And that's really the road to world peace.
Wow.
When everyone understands better who they are and what their cultures are. And so I really felt quite welcome. And I really thought, you know, more highly of the project I had, which creating, you know, poetry. So I wrote my first book of poetry when I lived in Florence.
Because you are who you are, you do what you do in the world today, and it's mainly business that we're going to be talking about. But poetry, since I have the opportunity to ask you this question, do you feel that there is a place for poetry in today's world?
Yes, I do. I think it's an important place. But at the same time, you know, the world keeps changing. We're living through an era which has changed the definition of poetry now to include film and video and other modes of creating art. And it was very similar to, you know, Shakespeare's time, actually, because in Shakespeare's time, prior to him, everybody thought drama and theater was something that low-life people did, but that really great people didn't really bother with theater. Mm. And Shakespeare transformed everyone's understanding of what dramatic art was really all about. And he almost created himself, you know, and he kept his ego out of it, really. I mean, he didn't try to advertise himself. What he did was he created, you know, 33 great plays. And they're all good, actually. If you, you know, I was my senior project at Yale as I read all of Shakespeare. And I think we're living in an era now where, without dwelling on it, you know, people like Steven Spielberg and James Cameron, you know, have sort of redefined, you know, what is a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I think YouTube has redefined, you know, what the internet's really doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have a lot of creativity happening in the world today. And I think that everyone needs to understand that and take advantage of it. You know, one of the things I really love about the world I'm living in today is that I can, even on a slow day, I can sit, you know, on the beach, and as long as I have my iPad with me and my iPhone, I can connect to anybody in the world.
Mm.
I can watch any movie I want to watch.
Mm. Interesting.
And if you think about it, that's really totally revolutionary.
Mm.
And, you know, and then we get irritated when the planes are flying overhead. But in the eyes of Leonardo da Vinci, that would have been a miracle. So I think we're living in a very, very miraculous universe. And the tragedy is that at a time when people should be feeling more empowered by all this technology, they're actually feeling disempowered for a lot of reasons. And it's kind of sad. And you've got a lot of younger people who are disoriented by all these choices and options. So I created the Sail Sustainable Foundation to address the education of children in schools about climate change and sustainability.
Yes.
Because I thought that that was a subject that was being ignored, particularly in the United States.
Well, it's not one that we're going to ignore. As a matter of fact, when we come back, that's exactly where we're going to start. And I have to tell you, to hear you say what you said, the way you said it, when so many people in the world are saying what's wrong with the world, you said what I like about living in these times, or however it is that you said it, I'm inspired. And if you are too, stay with us with our guest Walter Schindler, and a little later on, music by Diana Carr. This is Fun here on the Life Changes Show right after this.
Listen to these words. He would not be beat by forces too fierce for man, woman, or beast. As the going got tougher, his courage increased. It's a little story with a big message, a message that speaks to children of all ages. It's about believing in yourself, overcoming obstacles, and never giving up. It's been called a masterpiece, one of the finest children's books ever written, and a true children's classic. Shadow Stevens has been called Dr. Seuss for the 21st century. His big little book, The Big Galoot, is a story about bullying. Bullying has become an American epidemic, and The Big Galoot talks about it in a way that will touch the heart of a child of four and a grandfather of 104. It's the story of a little boy with size 42 hands, the biggest hands anyone has ever seen. And the kids laugh at him. Then the laughter turns mean. They mock him and trip him, and much worse. But throughout it all, Warren Galoot says, "I'm a galoot, but I have good luck. You can't get me down. I never give up." A second grader named Chandler said, "I thought it was the best funny book I have seen in my life." And we agree. Whoopi Goldberg said, "This is a great story. Bravo, Shadow." The Big Galoot is available now as an ebook exclusively on Kindle Fire on Amazon for only $3.98. We strongly urge you to get it for your children, your children's children, or as a gift to yourself. Its message speaks to all of us. Have good luck and never give up. Go to Amazon.com and search for The Big Galoot by Shadow Stevens.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as The Green Children, Dan Millman, Hot Rod Fuller, and Mike Marino, on our archive page at lifechangesnetwork.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
This is Filippo, and we're talking to Walter Schindler on our show here today. Interestingly, just last night I heard a brilliant interview with Maury Yeston, who wrote the music and the words to the musical Titanic. And this just reminded me of something that as the Titanic was going down, this wasn't in his interview, but as the Titanic was going down, if somebody said, oh, you know, the paint in the bathroom needs to be painted and that needs immediate attention, somebody in their right mind might have said, the ship is going down, you know, let's not worry about the paint. And that's what I was thinking when we were talking offline or off the air with Walter Schindler, when he was talking about, and not enough people are focused on sustainability. Walter?
That's right. Exactly. No, we in the United States in particular have the greatest percentage of doubt about whether there's really climate change happening, when we're practically the only nation in the world that really has any serious doubt about that.
Wait, there are parts of the nation, if I'm not mistaken, that actually where it's illegal to actually talk about climate change?
Well, there's let's put it this way. You'll get thrown out of the petroleum club and, you know, used okay. If you start talking about climate change.
Okay.
You know, because that's considered an impolite subject. Mm. Even though some of the oil companies are starting now to really invest in solutions to some problems associated with their activities, which is great. It's heading in the right direction, and I applaud that. But the reality is when I spent a lot of time in Europe, I've led several U.S. trade missions on sustainability to Europe. And when I go to Europe, I'm considered, you know, an important person, whereas in the United States, I'm pretty much ignored as, you know, someone who's sort of on the fringe of investing. You know, he's investing in sustainability. The poor guy hasn't quite grown up yet. You know, he's misguided to be worrying about whether the world is going to survive. And the reality is that what led me to start Sail Capital Partners was the research back in the year 2000. That showed that the supply and demand of energy, water, and food over the next 50 years was going to increasingly separate and not converge, which would result in, you know, very serious problems in the availability of energy, but more importantly, the availability of water and food to the world's population. And I think those of us who are old enough to have seen the change in the world from 6 billion people to 7 billion, see that the qualitative change is more than 1/7. It's a huge change because to the
exponential,
middle,
no doubt.
It's exponential because the middle class that is created by prosperity consumes 10 times the resources of the poor. So as we sit around clapping our hands and applauding the fact that more and more people are becoming middle class, what that really means is that we're manufacturing more goods that are polluting the world, and we're creating more trash, and the trash has to be dealt with. So the key problems facing the future of the world is how are we going to deal with the fact that there's not enough energy, but to create more energy, how are we going to do that without polluting the world, number one? Number two, how are we going to make water more available to people as we increase the world's population?
And clean water.
And we're talking drinkable water.
Yeah.
And that's one of our companies addresses that, water health. And then the third area is agriculture. So it led me to the conclusion that unless there were disruptive changes in technology, we wouldn't be able to close these gaps in energy, water, and food. So I started Sail to invest in solutions to the world's most serious problems, in that energy is the basis of civilization, if you stop and think about it. Food and water are the basis of human life. So these are very, very fundamental challenges. And when I started Sail, there was really no investment firm in the United States dedicated to investing in solutions to these problems.
Wow.
And so I did what I thought came naturally, which is I'm going to invest in a solution to these problems. And for a long time, it was very difficult because people didn't understand exactly what I was doing. Then it took really a long time. I started in the years like 2000, 2002. And I would say until about 2008, no one really understood that any of these issues were real. And then all of a sudden people perceived it. But then we had a financial crisis in the United States in 2008. The Dow went down to 6,000. What was worse is people thought it was going to go lower. And it was very, very difficult to raise money at that time. So it's been challenging. And then just as the space became more popular, there were a number of governmental investments in solar deals that went bad. And so in the U.S., we've never really developed a vigorous investment community behind sustainability. Now, that's not true in Europe. That's one of the reasons I go to Europe a lot, to speak to investors, because sustainability really originated in the 80s from the Prime Minister of Norway. And then from there, it developed into the United Nations Committee on Climate Change. And then it spread throughout the world. But sustainability's origins were really in Europe. So when I love giving speeches in Europe because I don't have to convince anybody that sustainability is important. Everybody already knows that before they go into the room.
The conversation is much further along.
Exactly. So I can talk immediately about what the solutions are. I don't have to tell them what the problem is because they know that.
Wow.
So it's very good. So
Walter, you know, in listening to you talk about sustainability, the other thing that comes to mind, and it, I'm hoping that I understand it correctly, but what I've seen of your work, you have found success in finding the kind of the sweet spot, the bridge between the existing systems and infrastructure, which, you know, disrupting them brings up a whole other topic and set of challenges. So you have to kind of work with what's existing, but yet guide them into, you know, into the new growth or into change.
Well, that's a very good perception. That's where the realism comes out. Every great investor is a visionary realist. you have to combine the vision, which I've talked about, and then what Mark's talking about is the realism part. The realism part is you can't really change the world by getting up on the soapbox in Hyde Park and preaching a vision that 10 people listen to and nobody does anything about.
Well, they tried that in the 60s. More than 10 people listened, yeah. but then what?
Exactly. So I came to the conclusion that if we're going to really change the world in a large and meaningful way, we have to connect the dots between the infrastructure that exists and the vision that we're moving toward. And that was sort of the dirty work that I decided was my mission. Because in my career, I had been a corporate lawyer. I was very familiar with how the world currently works. I had trusted clients, and I thought I'm in a good, unique position to show people how to connect the dots between the world as it exists and the world as we want it to be. And so all the technologies, Mark's absolutely right, all the technologies we've invested in have done that. For example, one of our companies turns waste methane that comes out of every coal mine and oil field and trash field, turns it into electricity with zero emissions. It takes waste methane, which is a potentially greenhouse gas, turns it into power. We have another company that
turns... Does that include the cow dung?
Yeah,
it does. Yeah. Wow.
Cow dung is actually a subject people don't like to talk about, particularly at dinner, but it's a major source of methane.
Well, we're not eating yet.
Yes,
so,
exactly. but basically, methane is the second most serious greenhouse gas after CO2. And the press understands CO2, but methane isn't well understood. But what we do is we turn that methane into electricity through a process that's too technical to talk about, but is proven and patented. And then we turn polluted. We have another company, Water Health, that turns polluted water into safe drinking water.
Now, this all sounds like no-brainer to me. It sounds like, okay, let's do it right now. And unfortunately, we can't because we have to take a break. But when we come back, I want to do it. And I also want to talk about some of the other companies and Coral Sustainable Solutions or something like that.
Yes.
I'm thinking of coralsustain.com. Actually, all the websites are on our website. So if you go to lifechangesshow.com, you'll find there everything that we've touched on so far. SailSustain.org is there. SailCapital.com is there. And Coral Sustain, which we haven't talked about yet, .com, is coming up right after this. You'll not only learn about it, maybe you'll want to invest. Maybe you'll want to give to the foundation or help the foundation. You look at that. We'll talk when we come back right after this with Walter Schindler on the Life Changes Show.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening, someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Mariel Hemingway, Shadow Stevens, Gary Zukav, and Kyle Cease, on our website at lifechangesshow.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and at Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We are back, and the conversation continues with our guest, Walter Schindler, and I'm sitting here with Mark Lejeune, and there are so many aspects of this conversation that are so that we could go so deep with. I know we want to mention Coral Sustainable Solutions also because Bronwyn.
Coral Sustainable Services, I believe.
Services?
Yeah, that's okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
We've been talking about solutions.
Which are often solutions.
That was good, though.
You like that?
That was a good slip. Yeah. Meaningful.
Well, absolutely. And so we're grateful for Bronwyn for introducing us all. And she's also part of the company,
yes,
right?
That's right.
Right. So let's talk about that.
Okay. So Bronwyn is the CEO of Coral Sustainable Services, LLC, mm-hmm. and we'll consider later whether to change the name of Solutions. I like that. But I would say I'm glad you brought it up because the reason behind Coral is that I realized that just by making 14 very isolated and specific investments directed to particular challenges, that nowhere was I addressing the whole picture of sustainability. Mm. So I thought that Coral could have a mission of providing consulting to people about the broad range of all of the things that affect sustainability. For example, I've never been able to find a specific investment targeted at food. I've tried, but I haven't found anything that met my profit criteria of making money doing it. And I found that
nowadays, right at the moment, is very important in order to be able to, what you were talking about earlier with Mark, and make all that work today.
Exactly. Yeah, you've got to show that you have a profitable idea. Profitable ideas in food, for example, few and far between. Probably the greatest idea was Whole Foods. I mean, it was a brilliant idea. And I actually went to high school with one of the founders of Whole Foods, oddly enough. And the guy really had a brilliant idea. It was originally just a family grocery in New Orleans, and it merged with a family grocery in Austin, Texas, owned by John Mackey. My friend was John Elstrat. And his dad started that Whole Foods in New Orleans. And the two of them merged and formed Whole Foods, and now it's a multi-billion dollar company on the New York Stock Exchange. That was a brilliant idea. They were way ahead of their time. And so really, I provided the seed capital for Coral to start with the idea that we needed to be able to provide consulting and introductions in all areas of sustainability, whether or not there was a particular technology that I should invest in. Now, my thought was that that's a good way to sort of be out there and discover what's happening, and what's new.
Mm.
The other thing that Coral does is they provide very unique and powerful introductions to Australia. Australia is a very important place in the overall crucible of sustainability because it's the first fully developed country that is experiencing some of the severe impacts of sustainability.
Oh.
For example, there's only about 7 years left in the aquifers underneath the Australian continent. Hmm. The water in the aquifers is being consumed at an exponential rate by the mining industry.
Okay.
So one of the things I've been looking at is a recent investment is in a company called BioLargo. They have a technology that enables you to completely reuse all the water and mining over and over and over again.
Oh, wow.
So you never have to dip into the aquifer.
Wow.
That's the kind of thing that excites me.
Yeah.
Right? That's going to save a lot of water. Now, I understand Australia because of the introductions that Bronwyn arranged for me over a 2-year period. I met everyone in the government and industry that I wanted to meet. They also have unique challenges in energy. They have a very, very well-developed solar panel program for homes in Australia. There's a lot of solar panels with solar power to homes. Australia is actually ahead of the United States in that respect. And in general, Australia also has a larger governmental commitment to clean energy than we have in the United States.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, Australia, which is a fraction of the size of the U.S. GDP, actually has more dollars committed to clean energy, even in the current administration, than the U.S. does. So Australia is really a thought leader in clean energy and water, and I've gotten a lot of insights from that. So Coral is a great firm for anyone looking to get to know Australia better, or to get to know sustainability better. And often the two are related.
So coralsustain.com. And again, the websites are all on our website at lifechangesnetwork.com. So Walter, back to the children. The foundation that you started helps the children learn about climate change and all kinds of other things. So what are some of those other things? And where is it being applied?
Well, okay, so we found that when children were interviewed in the California public schools, that they could not identify what sustainability meant.
Mm.
They couldn't understand what caused pollution.
Mm.
They didn't know that even the manufacturing of their cell phones created pollution. They didn't understand that the disposal of electronic equipment is a serious recycling problem.
Mm.
So we found that you know, that the children in the public schools weren't really being taught about the science that underlies sustainability. Now, my favorite definition of sustainability is the original one by the Prime Minister of Norway. She said, the goal of sustainability is to leave the earth in the better condition than we found it. And that way the world becomes sustainable. I think that's a very eloquent definition, but it also addresses directly the children, because why are we concerned about how we live in the world? It's because our children are going to inherit this world.
Right. I have to say that I don't know if adults know what you just asked of the children, what you're asking of the children.
Well, that's a very perceptive comment. I mean, that's probably a good question to explore. I think that we needed to focus on something.
It's a great place to start.
And we thought that was a good place to be, but we certainly should be focusing on everything.
But the children will be the adults of tomorrow, and maybe that's the only place to start, because maybe the adults, I don't want to give up hope on the adults.
Up hope. It's just if you look back, you know, I think we're all influenced a lot by the mentoring we receive as children. Mm-hmm. We're all influenced a lot by examples that are set.
You gave a great example with your school and the mentors and
yeah, my high school really had a huge impact on me. And if I hadn't gone to my high school, I probably would have not gone on to Yale. But I really was influenced by my teachers. So I really think, you know, the schooling of children is a key leverage point. You know, I'm always thinking about how to have impact. And you convert an adult, you converted one adult. You convert a child, you've converted a lot of people and a lot of the future.
Oh, that goes back to my what if question. What if the problem with society is me? And
that's pretty profound, actually. I mean, I think about that.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to talk more about that. I know you would have a lot of great insights. I would love to see you at this conference, but we have you here, and this is very exciting.
Walter, you talk about impact, and that word I know we share often on this show is so important and is often lost, you know, in a lot of there's a lot of good people doing good things. There's also a lot of businesses that want to be perceived as doing good things. So maybe you can talk a little more about what Coral and Sale have done to really kind of focus on that end result. And I think it plays back to what I was saying in terms of that bridge of being real, yet being able to provide tangible and meaningful impact while making profit.
Well, that's a great question. Now, in answering it truthfully, I'm going to sound like a venture capitalist. But the reality is that we look at something called the total available market for every service or product that we invest in. Now, what that means is if we invest in a way to make electrical power out of waste methane, we do a study that says if this got adopted by every potential customer, what would the dollar sales be in a year of that product or service? So that's how we made our investments. So, for examples, I did the research on the methane company, so I can say the total available market was $120 billion for this very simple but elegant technology. Now, obviously, the proof is in the pudding. You have to go out and actually make that happen. You need a lot of salespeople. You need a lot of corporate structure to make that happen. But the reality is it's a total available market. Sometimes people come up with a really great idea, you know, but the dollar value of the market is $100 million, which sounds like a lot of money to a normal person. But in venture capital, unless we see there's a market of at least $1 billion, we don't even pay attention to it. And we prefer over 10 or 20 billion. So we're looking, it's not just about the money, it's about how do you measure whether you're going to have an impact on the world? There's no perfect way to measure it. And obviously, we do look at social good. We look at reduction of pollution, improvement of health. But ultimately, in order to take money from investors and invest it profitably, we have to invest in solutions that have a large dollar impact, because life tells us that will lead to a big result. It's sort of like kind of like Facebook or Google. I mean, if you look at the dollar impact of Google, Google generates an amazing amount of cash from doing something that almost seems like a public service. Mm. You know, Google's connecting everybody in the world to the greatest sources of information quicker than any other algorithm. You know, boom, brilliant. But what makes Google work is the fact that their advertising generates enormous amount of cash. It's like a cash gusher.
It's like a cash cow.
Yeah, it is. It is a cash cow. Exactly. Now, these internet models are brilliant because, again, speaking as a venture capitalist, what impresses me the most about these internet models is that the brilliant entrepreneurs like Zuckerberg at Facebook and everything, they figure out how to get the consumers to do all the work of the company. Mm. So the consumers take all the photos. They write all the words. They do everything, really. Mm. Facebook as a company doesn't do very much other than they invented the portal. Mm. They created the opportunity, and they figured out how to get people to sign up to it and motivated them to do all the work. But it's kind of like going back to Huckleberry Finn and Tom Sawyer, right? He got everybody to paint the fence. Oh. I mean, Zuckerberg figured out how to get all the consumers in the world to paint the fence.
Interesting.
It's a great
That's
analogy.
Why he's right. a billionaire, That's right?
Brilliant analogy.
And all of us, you know, we're the ones on Google doing all the work.
Right.
Right? They're just arranging that we are able to get bombarded by advertising in a very subtle way so that we don't even really feel advertised to. So that is really, that's really, you know, a brilliant solution to a set of problems. The job in energy is tougher because we have to change the practices of very large companies. Mm. That's very difficult to do. Mm. Yes, we have to change the practices of consumers, true, but the real issues in pollution and climate change are the largest corporations in the world. They're the ones doing all the mining. How cleanly they do it is up to them, more or less. Mm. But to some extent, they're reacting to the technologies that are available and what the cost is. The same is true in oil and gas. Oil and gas can be either done very sloppily or it can be done very cleanly. And it's the managements of those companies that make those choices. And so we have to figure out how to motivate them to do it as cleanly as possible. So these are very, very big challenges.
I'll say you took on quite a big challenge, a couple of them there. And
yes.
And I'll have to say that if you have anything to do with it, the big guys will be listening to you.
Well, that's the goal.
and we'll all be better for it. Well, this has been exciting to be able to have this kind of conversation at this level where it feels like changes can be made, maybe not in a day, but as they are made, they make tremendous impact. Because if they're bringing in that kind of money for investors, then the investors are interested in seeing it happen, and it'll also have a great impact. I tip my hat to you.
Oh, well, thank you. Well, I don't know if I have any more time to say anything.
You have a minute.
Okay. So in my last minute, I want to say that we are moving forward with a new business model to achieve greater impact. And what we're doing is we're offering advisory services to very large family offices around the world, meaning multi-generational family wealth, where what we're doing is we're helping those families understand where to invest their money in order to achieve maximum sustainability. Mm. Now, why are we doing that? Impact. Right. Mm. we'll have a, let's say we have a family, our first client, total size of their office, $8 billion. That's a lot of money.
Mm.
Okay. We don't invest it for them. We advise them on where to invest that money. And we're available to counsel them on, well, if you want to invest in this area, consider this company, not that company, or consider this particular approach versus that approach. And so we are guiding them towards sustainability. Mm. Now, again, let's get back to impact. If we can influence some of the wealthiest families in the world, that's impact.
Mm.
Why are they interested? They're interested because typically wealthy families have multi-generational perspectives, like the Walton family or the Pritzker family. They have a multi-generational perspective because they're expecting their wealth to be around for another few generations, at least, if not forever. And so they want to know, what condition is the world going to be in for my children and grandchildren? So they are now, and they have so much money that they don't have to worry about maximizing every single dollar they have. So a lot of these large family offices are now looking for sustainability advisors. So that's a new area that Coral and Sail are moving into.
Hence the Coral Sustainable Services.
Right. Exactly. In this case, services equal solutions.
I like the way you think. This has been a pleasure. So go to lifechangesnetwork.com to look at all the web pages that we have there for Walter Schindler and the work that he's doing. But real quickly, coralsustain.com, sailsustain.org, and sailcapital.com. Walter, it's been a pleasure. And I have one regret, that we didn't get to speak in Italian, that we will make that too, that we didn't get to hear a poem in Italian, but maybe we can do that another time.
Absolutely.
It would be a pleasure. With that, thank you to Walter. And when we come back, music by Diana Carr as our musical guest right after this.
The Life Changes Show is a premier radio show presented by the Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, corporate giants, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show, lifechangesnetwork.com, and through guest appearances on other inspiring shows and events. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching, a private consultation with one of us, corporate or live event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, please email us at info@lifechangesnetwork.com.
We are back, and what an exciting conversation was that. And now we get to hear some beautiful music by our musical guest, Diana Carr. Now, let me tell you a little bit about her, because if this doesn't work perfectly with what we're talking about, I don't know. Diana Carr's music carries messages of healing, empowerment, and celebration of the powerful times we are living in. That's two people on one show, both excited about the times we're living in. It must have been in today's water or the wine. She actually is part of Love Amp and Earthquake, both of whom we've had on the show. And I come to think of it, when we had Earthquake, we weren't able to coordinate with you. And so thankfully, you were able to come back. She's now stepping deeper into her service as a solo artist herself. She's here to debut some of this with us. It's Diana Carr.
Hi, I'm super grateful to be here. Thank you.
We are super grateful to have you. You are inspiring as you go around with your music. I know you were at Full Circle.
Yep.
Just recently with Andrew Keegan and doing your magic there. Tell us about this magic.
I'll actually be back there on July 11th as well. Yeah, I was playing a beautiful event with a beautiful brother, and it was called Earth Songs, and just in dedication to, you know, the transition that we're going through, and just, you know, beauty and power and the earth and all of its children. So
now tell us a little bit. We've talked about it twice before because we've had different members of Love Amp, but it's such a great story, this consortium, so we say. Tell us about Love Amp.
Love Amp is a collective of artists who create music in a similar thread, you know, empowering and conscious, love related. And yeah, they're all really amazing. I'm always blown away and inspired by the level of talent that comes out of that group. And it's always expanding. We're always finding new artists to integrate into our performances.
Now, earlier you heard us talking to Waldler Schindler about the foundation that he has working with children to help them learn about sustainability, et cetera. Now, you are very young yourself. How did you get into these kinds of concepts so young?
I think it's always just resonated with me since I was a kid, you know. Recycle, reuse, reduce, and those commercials that would come on as a child that were really, it was like, oh, I can't run the water for too long. We got to recycle. And it always just made sense to me since I was a kid, I guess. Yeah.
Wow. Commercials work. Who would have known?
The PSAs. Yeah.
I love it. And was it just you, or did your family members or did other kids also get it, or?
No, it's just me. I grew up in Newport Beach, and it was more about consuming than it was about sustaining.
Yeah.
So,
but now you're making up for spreading the word.
Yeah. I think there's a good turn of events.
Well, thank you for that. Well, what are we going to hear today?
This song is called Tell It. I used to be kind of an angry activist when I realized what was going on in the world. And then I found out about the power of our consciousness and how we can use it for good and to create something new and something better. So
instead of like calling people names for not getting it, you're trying to find a more loving way to do it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. And it's called Tell It.
It's called Tell It.
Tell It. Diana Carr singing Tell It here on Life Changes.
The heart storm, benevolent green, inspiring inspiration. Yeah, just breathe it in. I am making to bring forth creation for the voice. How can I be a white crystal mirror? Well, the answer break you loud and clear. Dear, don't tell it like it is. Just tell them how it could be. Consciousness is creating, so I focus on anything that you feel is wrong. No, don't tell it like it is. We can write another story. Yeah. If you're out there preaching that the world is a sinking ship, then all anyone can do is worry. No. face with the places needed the light. Now I pray that I only use my words for healing. Yeah, may I only use my words for loving. Yeah, oh, and I'll go and I'll grow in this feeling. Yeah, just to be something you can believe in, yeah. Won't tell it like it is, just tell them how it could be, yeah. Yeah, I heard what's on the news today, but we don't need to perpetuate it. Anger or fear, dear, don't tell it like it is. You'll know there's a better way, yeah. If what we are is what we say, then why not renegotiate the contracts we made? Yeah. So may we only use our words. Yeah, may we only use our words loving, yeah. Oh, and we'll go and we'll glow in this feeling, yeah. Just to be something they can't believe in, yeah. All that we have believed in, yeah. So don't tell it like it is, just tell them how it could be, yeah. Yeah, your consciousness is creating, so I focus on anything that you feel is wrong. No, don't tell it like it is, we can write another story. Yeah, if you're out there preaching that the world is a sinking ship, then all anyone can do is remain.
Well, you know, we were talking about poetry earlier. Yeah. Now, there's a poem, them lyrics. Did you write that?
I did, yes. It initially started off as sort of a prayer to write more music and, to, you know, just to bring in the words that would be of service, and it turned into a whole song.
Well, there you go.
Well done.
Well done indeed. Yeah. And actually,
it was awesome.
Diana Carr, C-A-R-R, we have a link on our website for people to go to your Facebook page, which right now is kind of the only place for people to find you as a solo artist.
At the moment.
And so at the moment, right. So this is really exciting because we're at the beginning of something even more exciting. Now, is this recorded yet, this song?
It is not. There's a live version of it up on my Facebook page from a performance, but yeah.
And now there's this.
Now there's this,
well, this is exciting. Well, it's recorded now.
Beautiful.
do we get to hear another song?
Yes, absolutely, yeah. This is sort of my rally song, and you know, just to, yeah, let you know everything's going to be all right.
I like that. What's that called?
This is called Shepherds of the Dawn.
Shepherds of the Dawn, Diana Carr here on Life Changes.
Well, the flock is ascending, bridging heaven to earth. You call for revolution, but we're bringing rebirth. Yeah, we stand strong and patient like the grandfather tree, transmuting radiation with the breath we breathe. Because we are a legion of light code carriers in infinite circle of peaceful warriors. Yeah, can you hear the sound? We're singing your next song to break the barrier, calling our allies out, the more the merrier. And they come from all around, 'cause we are the ones, the shepherds of the dawn. We shine the light to guide us back home, guide us back home. Hippies from the 60s with a little twist. Yeah, that was just the beginning. And when there's nothing you can do, you got to be that it is. Every breath and gratitude for this life that we live. You better thank your lucky stars that we are the ones, the shepherds of the dawn. We shine the light. Got us back home. Got us back home. Ooh, yeah, yeah. So take that medicine, yeah, to your family. Light inside may be the only remedy. Yeah. So take that medicine to your family. Put their hands in the earth and remind them of what they came here to be. Please, because we are a legion of light co-carriers, infinite circle of peaceful warriors. And we're coming back around, yeah, singing you in this song to break the barrier, calling our allies out, the more the merrier. And they come from underground, shepherds of the dawn. We shine the light to guide us back home, guide us back home. Ooh, 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 yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. Oh. That medicine, yeah, to your family. Light inside may be the only remedy. So take that medicine to your family. Put their hands on the earth and remind them of what they came here to be. Please, because we are a legion of light co-carriers, infinite circle of peaceful warriors. And we're coming to get ya, yeah. Singing you this song to break the barrier, calling our allies out, the more the merrier. And they come from all around, 'cause we are the ones, the shepherds of the dawn. We shine the light. Got us back home, got us back home. Coming home, yeah, oh yeah, yeah. Home, home, got us back home.
Just want to let that guitar keep ringing till the very end. That's beautiful. Actually, speaking of beautiful, you might have seen what I wrote on Facebook. Beautiful person, beautiful music, beautiful voice, beautiful songs. Beautiful. Diana Carr.
Thank you so much.
No, thank you so much. You know, for some reason, you're reminding me of an artist that used to be on the radio a lot, and her lyrics, she was very good. I don't want to put down any artist, but every song was one more angry than the other? And she was very popular. And so I'm thinking, I wouldn't mind, and I look forward to the day where I turn on the radio and I hear one of your beautiful songs, one more beautiful than the other. So I wish that on you and for all of us. Diana Carr, go to our Life Changes Network page and you'll see Diana Carr's link there. Otherwise, they can go straight to Facebook and put your name in, Diana Carr.
Diana Carr Music.
C-A-R-R. So they'll find you at Diana Carr, and Diana Carr Music is your fan page.
Yes.
And when you have a website or anything else or update on your album coming out, let us know so we can post it.
Absolutely.
It was a pleasure having you.
Thank you so much. Pleasure to be here.
Thank you so much, Diana Carr. And a pleasure having Walter Schindler in the show with us. This has been exciting. And actually, looks like we've got a birthday for Walter Schindler.
Oh my God, you really surprised me.
Happy birthday.
Oh my God. Are we on the air?
We're still on the air. Who knew?
Happy birthday, Walter Schindler.
I can't believe it.
Brought in by none other.
Jet was behind this. I know it.
Not brought in by none other than Bronwyn Lee, who is the president we were talking about of Coral Sustain Services.
That's right.
Sustainable Services.
That's right.
So with that, happy birthday, Walter.
Thank you very much. Boy, you really succeeded in surprising me.
That was Bronwyn. All right. So with that, we're going to have cake. We are Life Changes reminding you that in the booth here at Studio NoHo, we have Brent Hahn. And on his behalf and up in wherever they are, Northern California, BBS Radio, we have Doug Newsom. And we thank you on his behalf as well. Our executive producer, Dorothy Donahue, our producer and co-host, Mark Leger. I am Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you, as your life changes, as all of ours just did, we're here for you. Bye, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. And visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.